Well,
what, Mohawk, okay.
And I used to spend a lot of time with those two. And then when it got into the 60s and about when we expected the Supreme Court to rule, I used to meet once a week, have lunch with Floyd Dominy.
Wow.
At least once a week. We had some of the same interests. Mm-hmm. And we used to go to Chinatown, that's where we met every luncheon was in Chinatown.
Okay.
And but so I, it was sort of self-education. Then of course, if you had any questions, all I had to do is ask the senator, because he knew it. And then, of course, the one document I thought was invaluable was Rifkin's report.
Unbelievable.
So well written.
It is
fun reading. It's fun reading.
It's hard to believe.
And a legal document like that.
Yes.
And,
the California knew they were done at the end of
it. And we knew we were going to win the court decision when we read that.
So by 1960, you already have goosebumps. It's going to move forward. It takes three more years before. It's still a pretty close vote, 5-3. That's interesting.
But I was confident, and so was the senator. He just felt that, after he read it, and he thought Rifkin did one hell of a job. And putting all those issues in such perspective,
Colorado River Compact is not relevant to this. Yeah, it's the Project Act of 1929.
I don't know, I must have read that three or four times. I forgot most of it now. I tried to forget a lot of it because it was a bloody time, people lost jobs and committed, died, and then of course old Mike Ely was always a pain in the ass, but he was bright.
Oh yeah,
he earned his money. Son of a bitch was from Arizona originally.
I know. And did you ever meet Wilmer? What kind of, was he just reserved, quiet,
lawyerly? I felt he was just quiet and reserved, and I didn't know him that well. But and I didn't meet Snell until much later, when I was with the senator in the late 60s when I met
Frank Snell.
Yeah, Frank Snell.
What was he like?
Yeah, what was he like?
Sharper than hell.
Sharp? And, more of a businessman. He wasn't much of a lawyer.
No, very much a businessman. And that's what I was meeting with him about, stuff for air research and a couple other defense contractors and other stuff that they represented. And
okay.
So it was all politics, not
politics, and then money and clients for their firm.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah, but I, smarter than hell, and I like, I like both of them. I know the senator, I'm not sure, always wanted Snell out in front.
He did.
Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but but when it got down to the nitty-gritty there in the end, there weren't too many that we could rely on in the Stream Commission or any place else. And so we sort of selected Charlie and Bill Gookin.
Oh, Bill Gookin.
He was the engineer. I even hired, the biggest mistake I ever made was hiring a guy by the name of Palmer, who was Assistant Commissioner of Bureau of Reclamation and a damn Mormon. Uh-huh. And he thought he was the senator there for a while. I had to fire the senator again. Uh-huh. And because he was writing letters and not signing the senator's signature, and I caught him in that, and I fired his goddamn ass. And then, of course, I was a bad guy then, because he was supposedly going to help us, and he did know the things, but I just didn't.
In the end, when the Senate, when the thing is finally handed out in 63, and everyone has these couple of years of anticipation, the court comes down, and the last kind of flailings in California, this last legal flailings, and Northcutt Ely realizes this is coming down this way. Well, did the senator, what did the senator do, and what did he think about our legal team? And
well,
what did he do?
You know, Riney Salmon was part of it, you know.
Right.
And he wasn't too sober most of the time. But, gee, I'd have to think who all was, you know. There was, as I said, Joe Mansfield, he certainly
yeah.
But Joe got killed, you know, in an airplane crash.
That's right.
Ran into a mountain on his way up to Bullhead City, right outside of Yuma.
Mm-hmm.
And he,
that's right.
By the time the court decision came down, you know, we were into the politics of it.
You're headed to the legislative phase of
this.
Yeah.
And where they were helpful was putting together briefing books, legal background, the team that they brought back. It was pretty good, though. I guess they had problems with me, but. And, you know, because we started dealing with Abbott Goldberg and Steiner, Wes Steiner.
Wes Steiner, yeah.
It was, and dealing with Governor Brown directly, because,
yeah.
You know, Brown wanted to get this behind him, and
did he work at Snell and Wilmer, too?
Pardon?
Wes Steiner. Is he an attorney or an engineer?
No, he's an engineer.
Yeah, that's right.
He was a state water engineer, you know.
That's right.
Arizona hired him, which I thought, geez, okay.
Yeah.
That's Arizona for you. But West did a good job for the state.
I don't
give him credit for that. But they were two, particularly Abbott Goldberg, but the two of them were just fine to deal with, and so was Governor Brown. And,
okay.
I told you about Governor Brown coming over to campaign for, you know.
No, no, what do you say? What do you do?
Well, this is in 64, and Goddard and Mo Udall and all the others running for statewide office wanted Brown to come in, and when I heard about it, I said, what the hell are we doing inviting, we're in a big fight with him, and he's going to come over and campaign for us? I sure and hell don't want him in the state. Well,
uh-huh.
It's too late then.
Okay.
They had already invited him, so the next best thing, I got to write a part of his speech about me. You know,
oh, okay.
And put that into his speech. Well, of course, I'd had all these lawsuits filed. The Call Girl lawsuit had been filed, and all this, and I had all this, but, well, apparently Brown wasn't aware of this, and when he came in, we had a big there at the Adams Hotel, I guess, yeah, big luncheon, you know, and there sitting at the head table was Brown, me, then Goddard and all of them here, and so Brown gets up to make his remarks, and he said, "Mr. Warren, I was driving into town this morning, I saw one of his billboards, and I know it's a good slogan and all that, but I said, Roy, why don't you consider using the slogan that I used when I ran for Attorney General of the state of California, and I was the only Democrat that won that year statewide. And from there, I went on to become the governor of the largest state in the union." And Governor says, Roy says to me, "Governor, what slogan was that?" He says, "Why don't you try Women of Arizona, Wake Up with Roy Elson?" There was total silence in the room. Total.
No one.
And no one had briefed him. Total silence. And then I broke up. I roared with laughter. And then the place broke up. And he thought he'd told a real goody. Well, when we got out on it, we were flying down to Tucson, I said, "You know, I ought to tell you, Governor, I didn't want you in the state in the first place." And then I told him, he said, "Oh, Jesus Christ."
Women of Arizona, Wake Up with Roy Elson. That should be the title.
That is
It's pretty funny.
Fabulous.
It's a good story. Oh, Roy.
Anyhow. But as you know from your own book and all, that those were difficult times from 64 to 68 and
very sharp exchanges. Oh. And even my book doesn't contain the real stuff I saw. I had to filter that because some of it was nasty. Oh. And among within the Democrats.
Oh yeah.
Between Roy and the senator and Stuart Udall, and finally you see Carl Hayden pull his Trump card. Look, I've been here longer than you. This is what I expected.
Well, he also
yeah.
At one time, he also went to President Kennedy and said, "I'll take care of my administrative assistant. You take care of your Secretary of Interior." You know, and,
yeah, these were nasty.
Yeah, but it got really nasty.
How do you get along with the Udalls today? Okay.
Well, Mo and I became good friends. You know, we played golf, and I think I have a copy of the memorandum I gave him and Norma before they got married. You know, with all the problems she had with the family and all that, because Mo and Norma I knew about their relationship long before they got married. And, when Tiger was still around.
Tiger, yeah.
Anyhow, with Mo and I became pretty, I was at his wedding and all the other stuff. And we used to go play golf up in, at the National up in Long Island, one of the second oldest golf course in America. And we'd always be taken by lobbyists, of course, in those days.
It was okay.
Yeah. Paid for. But Stuart, of course, we talk and he claims that I'm sure he's still pissed at me.
Yeah.
And I'm not too pleased with him either, but we've sort of buried the hatchet, I think, but I'm not sure. You know.
Who else? Steiger. What about
Sam?
Yeah. Do you get along with him okay?
Oh, yeah. Well, Sam was sort of a wild man. I loved him as a character. And I remember, I once made a comment to the press or something that's, well, Sam hadn't been long enough to, find around here long enough to even find the bathrooms. And Sam retorted, only Roy would know where all the bathrooms were. Well, I loved the guy, but you know he wasn't a lot of help, you know. And,
yeah.
And nor was Duke Center particularly, you know.
Who was that guy, and what was he like?
He's very personable, and you know, and a jolly fellow, well met, and all that. But from Gila County, you know. And
he was a congressman just before Steiger.
Yeah.
66.
Roy, what is your take on Gene Pulliam? I just read a piece in here, nicely written piece. You write. God, you're great. Tell me about Gene Pulliam.
Well, that was all from memory.
But it's a wonderful, very, very engaging, very colorful. Tell me your take on Gene Pulliam. I know you, at the end here, should be grateful for the role he played in Hayden's re-election, but overall, what's your take on
him? Overall, I was think he did a lot for Arizona, and I think, though he was sort of a fascist, but he was a good newspaper man. He ran a pretty good newspaper for the most part. He had some good people around him, and but he was a... I liked him. I think he was
very... What is your take on the that whole triangulation with organized crime, Don Bowles?
We covered that earlier. It's funny.
Yeah. Okay.
Do it again. Do it again.
Just briefly, your take on that, because...
Well, everyone denied we had any... mob connections in Arizona. Well, Christ, it was where everyone retired, and it was very active in Maricopa and down here in Pima County. Jesus, I knew all those Bananas and Batiglias and you name them. You know, they were all. And so we always had this mob element. And as I was telling Jack earlier, I had some encounters with him, and of course. Don Bowles was a friend and also one of the best investigative reporters I ever knew, and And he was on to a lot of things, and but just was made a mistake. I mean, he should have known better than going to being suckered on that call he got to meet, you know. Because he was on to a lot of stuff. I don't know what it all was. Because actually, Eugene Pulliam had had Bowles investigate me for 3 years. And in fact, Pulliam told Carl Hayden in my presence that when we went to see him out there to see if I'd run, he said, I probably know more about this man than he does about himself. And in fact, I'm told from all the reports that by now he has to be a billionaire and have screwed every woman west of the Mississippi. And I know that's not true.
Well, you certainly have some great quotes.
And then the senator laughed and said, well, not quite any of them.
Well, I think that's that might be it for today. I mean, these are exhausting, I know, the oral history bits, but no, these are very good insights, and I...
well, when you...
we're going to get this together. Linda, let me stop.